Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Wash your hands. Wash your hands often. Wash your hands with soap. It's a catchphrase that we have heard the most during the past year, along with wear masks and maintain social distancing. We are not done yet with them, as we are required to follow these rules given the seriousness of the pandemic that we are facing. The gospel reading for today is about a discussion that starts with Jesus' disciples eating without washing hands. Jesus' disciples are noticed eating with defiled hands. If we look at it externally, it is not simply about washing hands, about being hygienic, or doing the necessary precautions to stop COVID like today. The readings for today direct us to an important conversation of what matters most: tradition or commandments, outward piety or inward repentance, meaningless ideologies or ethical discourses, discrimination or togetherness, hate or love. What matters most in the kingdom of God? I would like to remind us three things about kingdom of God. The kingdom of God invites true obedience. And secondly, kingdom of God subverts dominant unjust ideologies. And the kingdom of God brings us closer to God. Firstly, kingdom of God invites true obedience. In the reading from Deuteronomy, we heard Moses speaking to the Israelites who are about to enter the promised land. He speaks about obeying the law. Obedience to the law leads the Israelites to be praised and affirmed of their wisdom, even by their neighbors. We see a strong connection between law and wisdom. Wisdom leads a person to do what is right in the eyes of God. And when we live right, we are praised as wise, even by the people, even everyone. Also, the observance of the law shows the nearness of Yahweh to the Israelites. It is said that even the neighboring nations will say, like, oh, your God is so close to you, near to you. The law was given as a gift from the divine that symbolizes the act of God coming closer to Israel at the mountain of Horeb. Each commandment was fashioned in a way that Israel will honor Yahweh by living a life in a right relationship with their fellow beings and making sure that the community serves one another, especially being concerned about the poor, the orphans, the widows, strangers, and the slaves. Even in our second reading today, we heard James call to his audience to be doers of the word and not be just hearers, because by just being hearers, we deceive ourselves. When we claim ourselves as religious and spiritual people, just because we are part of a church, or we regularly go to a church, or hold on to the Bible, literally, the literal reading of the Bible, sometimes we deceive ourselves. James tells us what a pure and undefined religion before God is. Kingdom of God calls us to true obedience that honors Yahweh by living in right relationship. Secondly, the kingdom of God subverts dominant unjust ideologies. In Mark chapter 7, our gospel reading today, the gospel writer is so careful in giving all the details of what the practice was, even though there are some exaggerations, like all the Jews followed these. We read that the Pharisees and some scribes gathered in Jerusalem noticed some of Jesus' disciples eating with defiled hands, as we heard. In addition, the writer even tells us that they mean that the disciples eat without washing their hands. Defile means without washing. The gospel writer even clarifies that the Pharisees and the Jews, even though not all, it is mentioned all the Jews, they observe some purity practices before eating, like washing hands or food that they buy from market, washing the pots, pans, which is quite that what we practice today for hygiene. But we also see that it is being insisted by the narrator that these are traditions of the elders. Even though it is mentioned that all Jews followed this practices, we see that especially here, when the disciples not following the purity practices is being noticed and criticized by the Pharisees and the scribes. If we look at the Old Testament texts like Leviticus or Exodus, we don't see any particular laws concerning washing hands before eating, except there are some laws that is requiring priests to wash their hands and feet before they enter the tent of meeting and before they go near the altar, which we could see in Exodus chapter 30, verse 18 to 21, and chapter 40, verse 31. The law of ritual purity is a specific message to the people who had come out of the exile, being in a different land for generations, to teach them about who God is, about the holiness of God. In the time of Jesus, most of them were interpreted in terms of mere acts to follow, losing the meaning and purpose eventually. Jesus never disqualified the laws and ordinances, but he always motivated the people to think beyond the boxes of misinterpretations, traditionalisms that were encroached on them. Jesus' response to their complaint, quoting from the prophetic book of Isaiah, struck them right into their hearts of hypocritic behavior. Many a time, our traditions turn into traditionalism when it loses the meaning and purpose. And over time, there is also a danger that the act turns out to gain value while the meaning gains lost, which results in misinterpretations or which results in that being an unjust act to a certain group of people. In verse 14, we see Jesus calling the crowd who have been made to believe that they are not perfect like certain people, or who have been criticized by the Pharisees, maybe, that they do not follow the traditions as the Pharisees and scribes do. Jesus makes a claim that subverted the dominant ideology of determining who is holy, who is perfect, or who is not with unethical standards. As we read in Torah, no one is holy other than God. We are all in the process of attempting to honor God by loving our neighbors. That is why when the disciples asked him about the parable, he explains that purity is a matter of the heart. He asserts that when the heart of a person is pure, it does not matter whether a person is a Gentile or a Jew, a leper or a priest, a male or a female. There is nothing outside a person that defiles, but the things that come out are what defile. It is not our outward appearance or external blemishes that makes a person impure, but it is the heart of a person which makes one pure or impure. Finally, the kingdom of God brings us closer to God. The psalm for today, which we did not read today, but it is an lectionary and it is a beautiful psalm, Psalm 15. It provides an image comparing and contrasting a life of obedience over the life of disobedience. What is the result of keeping commandments? It begins with a set of questions. Who may abide in your tent, O Lord? Who may dwell on your holy hill? In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was Yahweh's dwelling place, the mobile temple where Yahweh was considered to be present when the Israelites sojourned in the wilderness before entering the land. The tabernacle, we see that it was later replaced by the temple in Jerusalem. The temple became the meeting place of heaven and earth, the place where Yahweh was considered to be powerfully present in, with, and amongst his people. So, in verse 1, in Psalm 15, to ask these questions, who can dwell with Yahweh? In Leviticus, we see who can access the Holy of Holies and who can reach the altar and tent of meeting. And there are different hierarchies. Who can go inside? And what are the things people should consider while accessing Yahweh's presence temporarily? Leviticus underscores that ritual uncleanness is part of life and unavoidable, such as bodily fluids, menstruation, touching a corpse, and so on. And since even the Bible considers it as inevitable, that's why they're provided with rituals in which all those impurities can be reversed. A person can do that sacrifice and become pure again. So rituals were part of people to cleanse themselves from the inevitable impurities. But Psalm 15 lists the ethical preconditions that a person has to follow with one's fellow neighbor to get permanent access to God's dwelling, to walk blamelessly, do what is right, speak truth from the heart, do not slander, do not do evil, do not take reproach against a neighbor, honor those who fear the Lord, stand by your promise, do not lend money for interest, do not take a bribe. The one who follows the ethical preconditions, the one who honors God by living in right relationship, by honoring the fellow being, will not be moved out of God's presence. Sometimes, the way we hold on to our human traditions or ideologies pushes us to the edge that we even are ready to break the commandments of God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, either intentionally or sometimes out of our own internalized behaviors. We do know that the practice of discrimination based on the skin color of a person or neglecting an opportunity or to someone based on their status is against God's commandments. How many times have we crossed to the other side of the road when a person of color walks facing us? How did we get internalized with that fear? Are we able to accept a person who is different from us the way we want to be accepted? Are we accepting the way we want us to want others to accept us? Food and practices are also one of the great ways of bringing people together. In many contexts and situations, food has been used to discriminate, reject, and disrespect some people. Even in the time of Jesus, Gospels talk about food and feast. Most of the time, there have been questions of dispute, complaint, about who is included in there, about whom with whom Jesus is eating. For Jesus, table fellowship brings people together. He ate with the so-called sinners, the tax collectors, and the people who were not included in the main lines. Finally, Jesus not only included them, he gave himself up through his flesh and blood as living bread. Jesus shows us the foretaste of the kingdom of God through the table that he is inviting us. The table which subverts the dominant unjust ideologies that exclude certain people. People with different skin color, ethnicity, status. Jesus invites us to the table to obey God as doers of the word. And he invites us to the table that brings us closer to God. Jesus invites us to this table that has space more than enough to include this whole earth and creation. And the food he provides is more than enough to satisfy everyone. Let us come together in love and unity. Amen.